Welcome to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast, where we talk about life because it happens to everyone, along with some great indie musicians' Q&A sessions. So come aboard, kick back, and let's vibe.
Welcome this week's guest to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast. I'm going to introduce to some, present to others, Miss Tiffany Piku. How are you, my friend?
Good. Really good.
What's going on?
Nothing. Just living life, you know, one day at a time. You know what? Like, God has just been so good to me over the years. And it's crazy because I've been through so much and people wonder, how am I still smiling? It's so interesting. You know how, like, when the church talks about how you get unexpected checks in the mail?
Mm-hmm.
I just got one on Friday. So, and it was for a hefty amount. So, and it's crazy because it makes me sit back and I think about a lot of the things that I went through and how now it's like I'm getting a lot of the positivity and the reciprocity back, you know, despite all of the negative things that I went through.
Wow. So where did it all start?
Let me see. It all basically started with these marriages that I was in, these relationships that I was in, and they were very toxic, but I didn't know. And you know, it's really crazy how we're really quick to always blame the other person for the reason why we got into these relationships. You know, and that everything is their fault. So in order for me to heal, I really had to sit back and see where I was in the wrong with some things. Don't get me wrong. Abuse is not acceptable in any kind of way, form, or fashion. No woman ever says it's okay for you to hit me because I'm not mentally together or because I might argue with you. That's never okay.
I agree.
So, you know, my first two marriages were like really rough. They had some abusive, I would say abusive characteristics, things that happen in different ways. And I had to say to myself, do I want to become a victim or do I want to become a victor?
Right.
And for the first few years, I was the victim, you know, in my mind. I was the victim. I was still crying. I was going through therapy. There were so many like things that I went through. Mentally, I was jacked up. Psychologically, I was jacked up. My heart was just thrashed. And I really couldn't trust anybody. But yep, I kept finding myself going back to this toxic environment. So for my first marriage, we basically stayed together for 7 years, but we were separated most of the time. And then for my second marriage, we stayed together, but the marriage was much shorter. So I almost had given up on love at one point and just said, you know what? It's just not for me in the cards. It's just really not. And I almost quit. And what I really had to do was, it's so crazy how everybody says the cliche of you have to learn how to love yourself. I never understood what that meant. Never. I never got it until love yourself means, this is exactly what it means. It means to pour into you, focus on you, and do what's best for you. That's exactly what it means. Okay. So I just had to like really, really make some changes in my life. Basically, in so many words, I had to go back to who I was. And it's a shame that a lot of times when you get into relationships, you forget who you are because you're trying to develop for the other person.
Mm-hmm. So would you think, let's see, going into these toxic relationships, would you say, I guess you observed that as a child, your father?
You know what? My mom and dad, they did have a relationship that was, you know, not necessarily healthy, but I didn't get to see that because about time, whatever they were going through, I was a baby. So my mother always did what she had to do to protect me, to keep me away from anything that was toxic. She didn't want me to grow up in that type of environment. And even with her marriages after that, I still did not see any of that. So no one can say, oh, and when she grew up, that's what she was in. No, I wasn't in that type of environment. I, for some reason, attracted it myself because of my low self-esteem. And a lot of times people will attract to you based on what you don't even have confidence in yourself, especially men. And I'm not knocking men, but what I'm saying is a lot of times men go for beautiful women like myself, and I'm not conceited, but I know that I'm not ugly. And they will use things as a tool to tear us down in order to rebuild us into what they want us to be. And I became victim of that. I was so caught up in, oh my gosh, so you think I'm pretty? You know, you think I'm beautiful. Oh my gosh. And it was the attention that did it for me.
Was it, I always take it back to like, so, cause I have two daughters and stepdaughters and grandkids and all that stuff. So it's always like, the female would be seeking that attention that they never did get from their father figure or something like that. So they always like, I guess, like seeking it from male attention, that validation.
You know what? I would actually have to agree with you in my situation, but mm-hmm. my father was there all the way up until I was about 12. Mm-hmm. And now he was deceased. He passed. So after the fact, yes, I think I was looking for that because my daddy gave me whatever I wanted. I don't care what him and my mom was going through. I was going on trips to Disneyland, staying at the Embassy Suites hotels. I had the best of everything. So yes, when I did get with men, I was looking for that. And I'm glad you brought that up because with my first husband, I had everything. I had Tiffany this, Coach that. I had robes and things embroidered in my name. He was spending money on me, giving me money and everything. But when I got with my second husband, it was more of a humbling experience. So it was like they realized, oh, she doesn't really have a father in her life, so I want to be her daddy. So instead of them actually loving me properly or loving me as a wife, they were loving me like a daughter. Like I need to train her. You know, I need to make her into what I feel that she should be as a woman because she doesn't necessarily have a physical father, her father in her life.
Right. So, yeah, if they're pretty slick, they'd be like, oh, well, she missing her daddy since she was a young girl. So. All that development, you know, through the teen years and young adult and stuff.
Yes.
They're trying to fill that void, but they like trying to reconstruct you into this robot for them, for their pleasures.
Yes.
Wow. So how long did it take you to realize that, like years later, as you look back?
I really had to start realizing it maybe within the past 4 years. And it was really difficult for me to accept the fact that these men really didn't love me. They loved the idea that I was something that they could sculpture. I was something that they could develop and build from the ground up so that they could say, oh, I did that. I took this beautiful woman from the ground up. I built her. I changed her way of thinking. I did this, I did that. The way that I know that is because both of my husbands said the same thing. And this is what they said. Well, when I got with you, you dressed a certain way and I didn't like it. So what I did was I started buying you clothes that I felt was much more appropriate for you. Well, when I got with you, your hair was really natural and I didn't like that. So I want you to start straightening it. So my first husband would tell me things like, and this is where some of the abuse started, but in his mind, it was just an opinion. So when I got with my first husband, he hated my curly hair. But when we got together, my hair was curly and poofy and big and wavy. The minute we got together, he was like, okay, so now that we're together and I'm your husband, let me give you a list of all the things I don't like about you.
Oh, wow.
I don't like the curly hair because you remind me of Eazy-E and you're not from Compton. You're a classy, light-skinned woman.
Oh, man.
Then when I got with the second husband, you met me where I was wearing tight pants, tight clothes, long, tight dresses.
That's
okay?
That's what drew him to you.
Short, tight dresses. Right. So now it's, you know what? I know when I met you, you looked a certain kind of way and you was cute and I liked the clothes and everything. But now I'm going to buy you skirts that come all the way down to your ankles. Yeah.
Yeah. So you had to adjust to that and like looking like, what the heck is going on now?
Prime example. When they both got with me, I was a certain weight. So when the first one got with me, I was kind of, I wouldn't say heavy set, but I was a little bit over the poundage of what I should have been. And he wanted me to lose weight so bad. So I didn't end up losing the weight until I divorced him and got with my second husband. So when I got with my second husband, and I went too fast. I think that that's a lot of our problems as women sometimes. We jumped out of one relationship into another because in my mind, I'm called to be a wife. And I still feel that to this day, that I'm called to be a wife, a good wife. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have every single skill, but I have the necessary skills. Okay. And so basically or whatever, I jumped to the next one. When I jumped to the next one, I was smaller. I was skinnier. I was playing sports, professional sports, everything. And for him, I was too skinny. So I put on about a good 25 pounds to make him happy. Just for him to turn around and cheat on me with a woman who was way thicker.
Wow. So now that you're out of that stuff, what have you learned? Did you know that over 92% of people in the United States are deficient in one or more vitamins or minerals? Unfortunately, the foods we eat just don't have enough of the vitamins and minerals our bodies need to maximize our immune systems, strengthen our organs, and help our bodies perform at their best. It's also the reason why so many people get sick. In fact, over 80% of patients who got COVID-19 were deficient in vitamin D, and up to 82% critically ill patients are deficient in vitamin C. The fact is, we need supplements. And now for the first time ever, you can get the highest quality, most complete supplements on the market for prices that anyone can afford. With Live Good, you can afford to be healthy. Check out joinnatenow.com. Check out the 6-minute video. Leave a good name and email and we'll get with you with more information. Have a great day.
I have learned, and not just men, but people in general, you need to accept me for who I am. You don't like it, that's okay that you don't like it. I'm not your cup of tea, and I don't have to be your cup of tea. So nowadays, when I attract people, the minute that they say anything negative about me and it's not constructive criticism, where it's something that I can say, let me work on that. But I feel like you're just talking about me and trying to attack me, I will immediately distance myself from you. Immediately. I find myself going back to doing the things that I really wanted to do before I got into those marriages. For example, telling my side of the story. I used to be a writer back in the day. I've started at least 3 books and haven't completed any of them. And their stories, not just about me being a victim or abused, or it's like actual good type of journeys that I've been through. My kids. I was starting to write a book called I Fell in Love with a Biker, because that actually was another journey of something that I went through that actually turned out to be toxic itself. And what I learned from that particular one was, when you see signs of certain things, don't ignore those signs. They were already there. I was trying to push a relationship and I was still healing. And this other individual was looking at me like, no, 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 I'm not trying to push a relationship with you. Like, you cool, you fun to be around, we could kick it, and that's it. So I had written a story about it, and I actually did complete it, but I never published it. So what I'm doing is I'm getting back to where my love was. I used to do modeling. I stopped modeling when I got with these husbands of mine because they were very jealous. It was, if the attention is not on them, then no, I can't do it. I remember when I was with my second husband and I had to do a modeling event, he talked about how he was okay with it, okay with it, okay with it. Then the day of, oh no, I don't want you to do it no more. Hmm. And I feel like men will get with me to control me because I'm really nice. I'm sweet. I'm that opposite type of a woman. I'm the one where if I'm in a relationship with you, I don't feel like I should have to tell you no, unless it's dangerous to me or it's dangerous to you. Then I'm going to say no. But for the most part, I'm that yes woman because I feel like it's our job together as one to please one another. Mm-hmm. So I've learned boundaries. And I've learned that that's not the way to think. I've learned that it is okay to say no. Sometimes I need to tell you no, even if it's not dangerous. Maybe I need to tell you no so that it will stop the potential danger that maybe you nor I know about. Or maybe I need to tell you no because I need to show you that there's a certain strength within me that you didn't know that I had. And I find out that when I would get into relationships and marriages, I'm always have to prove myself that I'm strong or I'm this tough black woman. And that gets very irritating and agitating at times. Because then when I show you that I'm this strong black woman, then you call me nagging. So I can't win for losing.
So you're still working on yourself?
Absolutely. And I will continue to work on myself. I have businesses that I feel I need to put out there. I have a dream that nobody knows about. I only told one person about this dream because I don't believe in telling everybody everything that you're going to do. Sometimes you just need to do it. And that one person that you tell, it's only for you to have them as a support system, or maybe there's some information that they may know. And see, this person, they already own their own multiple businesses. So automatically, they're a triple threat for the information that I already need.
Keep it close to the vest.
Yes.
Yeah. Do all the work and then they'll know. So you're gonna finish up those books?
Yes. I'm gonna give myself, what do they say? Goals. I'm gonna give myself some years to complete it. Maybe about 3 years, I'm thinking, because I'm working on other things. As far as like my finances and, you know, things like that and getting a better career, because I have a total of 3 different degrees. Mm-hmm. So I have my AA, I have my BA, and I have my master's degree. And so I don't feel like they've been properly utilized over the years. So I need to figure out, I don't care how old I am, you know, God is in control. So I need to be able to figure out how to utilize them. Those doors, I believe, are still open somewhere for me. But just maybe when I was younger, maybe in my 30s and 20s, maybe I didn't have the right mind state to walk in those doors. Whereas I believe that I'm more prepared now.
Had to go through all those life obstacles to get yourself built up and ready for the new future.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let me see. You got the books coming out. You're working on some other businesses, keeping close to the vest.
Yes.
Any advice you want to give to young ladies or single women?
The advice that I want to give to single women, and I know that it sounds cliche, but so it really, really is very true. But the advice that I want to give to women, young women, the minute that they begin to complain to you about anything that's not constructive, that basically, not necessarily that they're trying to help you. There is a way for a man to help you. And this is how I feel about it. And I need women to really understand, like, and I'm trying to get this out the best way that I can. Thank you, God. The way that you know a man is trying to help you is that he does it through love. He does it through a way where he's trying to build you up. So let's say, for example, when he comes along, you are in a place of being overweight and it's unhealthy. He's not going to say to you, you're big, you're fat, you need to lose some pounds. He's going to look at you and he's going to do either one or two things. He's going to say, I'm going to do it with you. Or he's going to say, I think you are absolutely beautiful the way that you are. But at the end of the day, I want us to grow together. And in order for you and I to be able to grow together, sweetheart, let's work on your health. Let me show you what we can do together. Let me show you how I can help you get there. That's just an example. Mm-hmm. Men, everybody keeps thinking that men are designed to just be these evil beings. They're really not, okay? Even though men have hard exteriors and they're really, really tough, you get to them the right way because it's our job as women to be nurturers and to be gentle. When you come at him gentle, for the most part, most of them will come back at you gentle. If you come at him for the most part and he's not gentle, that's somebody who still needs some more growing up to do, or he has some issues with his mama's sisters. He went through something in life. Mm-hmm. So back to what I was saying, anytime something like that happens, he has to come at you with love. And you'll know what that feels like because you'll feel like he's trying to build you up and not like you're a project. And so I want younger women to really, truly understand you're not a man's project. But in so many words, it is a part of his job to help lift you and build you up.
Yeah, that should work.
He can't raise you, but he needs to help lift you and build you up.
Right. And that should go both ways, you know? It should
absolutely
go both ways. Because it's a team. It's a team.
Yes, it is, for sure.
You win, I win. We win together.
For sure.
Are you looking for an inspiring and thought-provoking podcast to add to your playlist? Look no further than the Jamila Adams Experience. Hi, I'm your host, Jamila Adams, and this podcast is a must-listen for women 40-plus who want to explore a wide range of topics, from personal growth and self-improvement to just how life be lifing. With engaging interviews and solo shows with lively discussions that are filled with humor and heart, the Jamila Adams Experience is a perfect way to expand your mind and broaden your horizons. So tune in today and join the experience.
And not only that, I would really truly say, and I never understood what people meant when they said this to me until now, women don't get into a relationship until you know me. I mean, till you know you. Well, yeah, I can say me because I'm talking about her knowing herself. Mm-hmm. Don't get into a relationship until you know me. Know me. Because that's another problem, too. When you don't know me, then that's when everybody else creates you.
That makes sense.
Then you don't know who you are. You don't know what you like. Do I like Mexican food? I don't know, but he likes Mexican food, so I guess I gotta like Mexican food. You know, do I like rap music? I don't know if I like rap music, but hey, my boyfriend likes rap music, so I'm gonna like rap music. And I feel like a lot of times we make those type of mistakes too. And predators at this point feed off of that.
Yep. Especially the low self-esteem.
Yes. And this generation, oh my gosh, this generation right here, I'm so disappointed in this particular generation because I just don't really see the love. And it's like, it's the generation of my generation, of your generation, my aunties and uncles. That's where the love is at. And those of us, it's very difficult to love in this generation because our version of love and their version of love is two different things. Theirs is really toxic. Theirs is, no matter what I do to you, you're not going nowhere. If I cheat on you, you're not going nowhere. If I lie to you, you're not going nowhere. Because if you do, you don't love me. And that's not necessarily love. Love does not mean I take every single thing that you do. Now, let me make this clear. That doesn't mean that if somebody's in a marriage and there's infidelity, it doesn't mean that you can't go to counseling and forgive.
Right.
You can. I didn't stay in my two marriages, not because I was like, okay, it's over. You cheated. I found this. I found no. I didn't stay in them is because both of them told me I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing.
Oh, well, see you later.
Exactly. So I had to, but I still didn't even leave immediately. I still forgave and gave some time. And after a while, I said, well, why am I still doing this? If you have deliberately said to me, you're not going to stop doing that.
Yeah, we told you.
Exactly.
So now you got to make your move.
Yes, absolutely. So I feel sorry for this generation because they don't really know what love is. They really don't. It's just too much. I think the reason why they basically have decided, what is it called? The poly relationships. I think the reason why they have decided to go through that is because they realize that nobody really wants to be faithful anymore. Some people do, but a lot of people don't. And the minute that I look at you and I see that you're missing something that I feel I need, instead of me staying with you and helping you get there or work with you through it, I'm going to keep you, but I'm going to go get Tallulah on the side. Or I'm going to go get Jack on the side, too.
Fill all these voids,
huh?
Trying to fill all these different voids, huh?
Exactly. And that's what I mean by they haven't really found love in this generation. And so I refuse to be different. I want to still be me. I want to still be Tiffany, that generation where you know what love is. You know how to love someone through something, but still you don't just tolerate anything.
Right. Boundaries. That's when the boundaries come in.
Absolutely.
And then you should set those in the beginning, you know, the beginning of the relationship. You know, you talk it out. That's why you do a lot of courting and talking and stuff, so you can figure out the differences and see what you, you know, tolerate and what's not going to go.
You know, a lot of people don't even talk. Texting is talking.
It ain't the same.
Exactly.
It's a face-to-face conversation, walking in the park or whatever, just conversating and seeing the emotions, feeling the heart, you know.
People don't even go out on dates anymore. You know how these relationships start? They start like this. You were in my DM and we communicated that way. And not only that, a lot of relationships are starting off based on sex first, instead of even getting to know the person.
Right.
It's, I got to see if you in bed, if you good in bed first, and then after that, we could talk about some relationship stuff.
Totally backwards.
Now, I've done that before. I really have done that before. Because I wanted to try something different and something new. That was an absolute wish I had not done that.
And you don't even know the person.
Exactly.
And everybody put on their best act in the beginning, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like nobody really takes time. Nobody asks questions anymore. What happened to the simple question? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite hairstyle? What's your favorite food? Where do you like to walk? What's your dream car? You know, to other people, that's small talk. But that's not just small talk. That's helping me to understand how you are. Prime example, what's your pet peeve? My pet peeve. I can't stand a dirty toilet.
Mm-hmm.
It's small to you, but it helps you to understand that I'm very meticulous about certain things.
Yeah, so keep that toilet clean, because that's exactly one of her pet peeves.
And then
me, I be wanting to know your whole background. So from the day you remember you was a little kid, how was your upbringing? How was your family? How did your dad treat you? How did your mom? How was your dynamics with your siblings and stuff? I'm trying to figure out, who are you?
Exactly.
How did you come through life so I can figure out if we can put this puzzle together? Because I need to know your background so I can know where you came from and see the path in life, the relationships you've been in. I need to know all that for my, you know, so I can learn how to treat you.
But people don't ask those questions.
And that's why
they're
hitting brick walls every day.
And not only that, you got to be careful too when people do ask you those questions because they use them against you.
Right.
You know, with my first two, every time I would tell them something, and then they would feel validated to speak to me a certain way or validated to do me a certain way. Because I'd be like, you went through that with such and such. So what's the difference? You should be used to that. You should be used to being talked down to.
They're taking advantage of it. It's the wrong person.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Exactly. Well,
you know, you tell them their story and then they use it against you. Like,
yes.
Yeah, that's a flag there.
Yes.
And instead of learning the person's story and understanding how they operate and how you can fit in there and work it together and be, you know, be better. You know the stuff that ticks them off. You know the stuff that makes them happy. Right. The do's and don'ts. So now you can operate because you know the parameters of that person.
Right.
But that's old school.
But, you know, people don't want to go that deep no more. These are called popcorn relationships.
Popcorn.
That's what it is. Just like the whole concept of doing popcorn. You put it in the microwave, in 3 minutes, pop is full popcorn. And then you eat it, and it's delicious. That's how people treat these relationships, popcorn relationships. Nobody actually wants to take the time to take the seeds out, put the oil in the pot, put it on the stove, and let each, you know,
marinated
kettle pop slowly itself. And then you're like, oh, and watch the process of it. No, we just want to put it in the microwave. And when it come out, that's what it is. Boom, that's my relationship.
Man. Yeah, I've been on marriage duty all my adult life, so I don't even know what the game is like that out there now.
And it's so funny. People laugh because I tell them marriage is beautiful. And they say to me, well, how do you know? You got two divorces. And I said, well, for two reasons. One, God created marriage. That's the major thing. And I believe everything that God creates is beautiful, but you just have to get through the things of it, okay, until you get to something better to the end of it. But I truly believe that marriage is beautiful. Having one person and one person only is beautiful. Loving one person only, beautiful. Getting to know one person and not 22 people is beautiful. Now, they might have 22 personalities,
yeah,
but it's fun getting to know them 22 personalities.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, that's because the fun part, discovering them.
Exactly. Nobody is the same. It's like dissecting a frog. You know, you got to have the proper tools to cut, to look. Oh, what's that? What's that? What's that? And then eventually when you're done, you have figured it out. But even with people, you will never fully know somebody.
Right. We're always changing and growing, you know.
Yes.
Everything's always, you know, you can change on a dime or something. I like this for 2 years and now I don't like that no more or something. So. It's always it's always adjusting and, you know, balancing and growing together. And that's what it is.
That's where people start failing in relationships. And they start saying, well, when I first got with you, you was okay with me cussing and yelling at you. Well, baby, now it's 4 years later. I'm getting older. I don't like that no more.
Right, you got kids now and grandkids. So it's like, hey, where's the maturity coming at?
Thank you.
It's always a growth process. You never reach a destination. You know,
exactly.
It's like a process. It's like the marathon. It's not a sprint.
Yes. It takes time.
It takes a lifetime.
So I love relationships. I think they're absolutely beautiful. I like one person only. I love marriages. I think they're absolutely amazing. You know, I'm not married now. I will get married again one day. I don't know when, you know, but when I do get married, it will be to the right person. It's not going to be, I'm just going to just pick anybody just to say, oh, I need to be married before I'm a certain age. You know, I'm 42 years old right now. I'm still young.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I believe in my spirit and in my heart. And I'm still truly getting to know some more things about myself. Like, I'm really, truly loving this person that I didn't even know was in there. Until now, because I stepped back and gave myself some space.
Right.
And I started focusing on me and started breathing. Like, I had no idea that when I come to people's party, I'm the life of the party. But that's what I'm told. I don't drink. I don't smoke. You know, I don't do the type of things that I did when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't judge those who do. I love everybody for who they are. And I'm just realizing that I connect people together. And it's so beautiful because when I was growing up, I had such a nasty attitude because I had to have my guards up.
Mm-hmm.
See, I grew up in LA. I grew up in Inglewood. So, and me being light-skinned, mixed, biracial, I had to experience a lot of things from the Black community. They couldn't figure out what I was. They automatically thought I was this color, that color.
Stuck
you know, I was called so many different names. It was sad. So I had my guards up for so many years. So now for people to look at me and be like, hey, come hang out with me. Come to my table. Come to this event. Come do this. Hey, Tiffany, come here. It is the most beautiful thing ever to know that for the most part, when I come in the room, I bring positivity, peace, joy, and love. And that's all I want. I just want to give positivity, peace, joy, and love. I'm done with all those negative days. I don't want that no more.
Unhealthy.
Completely.
Yeah. And you have that choice. You got to make that choice.
Absolutely.
And then keep all that away from you, too. The people that bring it, put your shields up. So you still got to be defensive for the poison.
Yes.
And open for the love.
And you know what? I realize that there's a way to do that even in a loving way.
Yeah.
So there is a way to block it and not still be mean. Right. Not still have a negative attitude about it and not be funky. There's a way, you know what? I love you, but I'm going to go this way.
Yeah, I can't do the toxicity.
But exactly. I love you, but when I see you, it's so good to see you. But boom, it stops right there.
Boundaries.
Because I cannot feel, I don't want your energy connected to my energy. And if you don't choose to pull the good from me and you want to stay in your negativity, then you got to stay where you want to stay.
Poof, be gone.
Exactly.
Easy for me to do. I like the positive energy. I can't take the negative, the pessimistic, the woe is me, the victim mentality. I don't feel good in that environment. I want to smile, smiles, crack jokes. You know.
And a lot of things that I do too, before I go into any environment, I will pray. I rarely go to clubs, maybe twice a year, three times a year. But the ones I go to are very classy with older people because I'm more mature. And when I do go, I pray before I go anywhere. I really, really do. And now that I'm completely sober, because I just stopped drinking when my birthday, which was May of this year. I'm not saying I was an alcoholic because I was not.
Was a social drinker?
Yes, I was a social drinker. But I made it up in my mind that I didn't want to drink no more. And I like myself better now that I don't drink. So I pray before I go into any environment. And if I go to the place itself and get ready to go in the door and I feel something wrong, I don't care who's there. I don't care what promise I made you. If my spirit don't feel right, I'm going home.
Yeah, listen to it.
Yes.
The unction of God.
Amen.
Let me prick your spirit. It ain't going to be good enough for you. Get away.
Exactly.
Got to have the ear to hear. Trying to warn you.
Right.
And the grandma said, you've been hard head, make a soft tail.
That part. And you know, one time I chose to ignore that voice. Mm. And when I ignored that voice, when I tell you, I had the most interesting night that could have cost me my life. And after that, I did not play around. If I hear that voice, if I see a sign, a bird fly by, and the bird say, no, I'm out. I don't want to know why the bird said no. I'm out of there.
So you the only one heard the bird. The rest of the people ain't hear nothing. What you talking about? I heard the bird. I got to go.
Exactly.
I text you when I get home.
Right. So, you know, I love life. I love my life. What I love about it is now that I realize the areas that I need to get under control, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm a mom. And like, honestly, these past 4 years have probably been the most fulfilling years that I have experienced. You know, even though the first husband is putting me through some obstacles because we have a child together. And you know how that happens at times when you marry someone, you guys are divorced, you have a child, and they don't agree. And you know, you have the difficulties.
Yep.
But outside of that, I really am enjoying raising my children. One of them is an adult. He's a 20-year-old. so I can show him and teach him some things. At the end of the day, you're going to make your own choice and decision. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to tell you is if you go that direction, this could be 1, 2, 3 of those results. Which one do you want?
Yep. Yeah, so they won't be kids forever.
Yeah.
Temporary, you know. So the little tug of war with the kid thing, that's just, you know.
Exactly.
Tug of war. Just operating love.
Exactly. And some people don't have to experience that. They don't have to experience fighting over the children. And amen to you. Okay? That's beautiful.
Hey, hurt people.
Exactly. Exactly. But even in spite of, I still smile every day. I take my baby where he wants to go. I buy him the things that he wants me to buy them within reason. I don't spoil him. I don't say, well, just because me and your daddy, we're going through this, I'm going to give you whatever you want. No, nope. We're not doing that. You know, I still need to teach you some wisdom. You know, every day that I wake up and I see both of my boys, the grown man and the little 10-year-old, I just smile. I really do. Because I feel like these past 4, maybe 5, but mostly 4 years, I've done so much of a better job as a mother. And even they tell me that, you know what, mom, like, I will allow my children to be very honest with me. Hey, mom, in the beginning of the years, you know, we wasn't really bonding and yeah, you weren't that great of a mom. I don't mind them telling me that, even though I provided your needs, maybe not all of your wants. Maybe there's some things, some necessities that you needed mentally and psychologically I didn't provide. Mm-hmm. So now that I'm doing that, I'm not trying to fix what's already been broken. I'm just trying to move forward at the levels and the steps that we're in. And when I see that they both acknowledge that, that's what lets me know I'm going towards the right road.
On the right road, yeah. Cool. So look, you've been talking and talking. I think we wrote a book today. Chapter 1.
Right. I enjoyed it.
But I know you got to go. Get to church and stuff. Any last positive, let's see, this is the part of the show where I have my guests say some positive life nuggets, but I think you did it earlier.
Okay.
Any last choice words of positivity?
You know what? Everything is about love. It really, really is. It's about love. It's about patience. It's about understanding. It's about communication. It's about respect. Not just in relationships romantically, but in all relationships, friendships as well. You know, take your time. And even in spite of everything that's going on in this world that's negative, there's some good. Find the good.
Yeah, be the good.
There you go.
If you can't find it, be the good.
There you go. Exactly.
Cool.
So I thank you so much for having me today. I really enjoyed this moment. Thank you for allowing me to tell my story. And I really pray and hope that this helps somebody else.
Yeah, it sounds like this was a therapy session. You need to get that off your chest. I'm glad to be of service. But I'm sure it'll help somebody. Yeah, because, you know, nothing new under the sun. You're not the only one. It just...
Right.
That's your journey. And then somebody probably in that right now needed to hear the encouragement because they're like, okay, this ain't gonna be forever. I'm almost through.
Yes.
I needed exactly. That little push right there. So yeah, that's a lot of times where I do these stories because somebody need to hear them.
Yes.
You know, somebody need to hear it. And you know, that's a piece of their puzzle that they was waiting for and been praying for. And then here's an encouraging word to get them there.
I always say if I could just reach that one, I don't care if a million heard it and they didn't listen, but if that one, that's the only one I can, that one right there.
That's who it was meant for.
Yep.
At that moment.
Yes.
Of their journey. Sure. Yep. Cool. Okay. Thanks, Tiffany. I want to appreciate you for coming on the Thank You Noble Junior podcast. It's been a plum pleasing pleasure.
Amen.
You've heard it exclusively on the Nathaniel Noble Junior podcast.
Hi, this is Tiffany Piku, and I'm on Nathaniel Noble Jr.'s podcast, and you can reach me on my IG, which is God's Tea Unique Daughter.
Thanks for listening to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast. If you've enjoyed our show, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. We appreciate every one of you.